WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito. God bless you. Thanks for joining us here today on this Wednesday. Thanks for taking 30 minutes of it. We are tuning into God's frequency. God has got a word for you today, and He always has a word for you. All you need to do, all we need to do, is go to where He's speaking. And we're going to tune in today to WGOD. Moving our dials here. Going to open up our Bibles, hear a word from God today. The word of God from today is going to be to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. What a statement that is. How difficult that is to do sometimes. But understand that James wouldn't say that, and Paul wouldn't say to you, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. What's the will of God for you today on this Wednesday? It's in everything, give thanks. In another place, Paul says, for everything, give thanks. Where are those scriptures? I believe 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is one of them, and in the book of Ephesians is the other. In everything, that is in all your circumstances, in everything, give thanks. Now, he wouldn't have said that unless God was large and in charge, and He is, and He's responsible. He'll take responsibility for everything that goes on in your life. Otherwise, He wouldn't say to give thanks. He wouldn't tell you to give thanks if Satan was the one dishing it out to you. But He says to give thanks in everything, give thanks for everything, because God is going to have all things work together for good in your life. Even if He didn't cause it, He'll take it and turn it out. You know, some of my greatest victories have been after and as a result of my failures. I turned right when I should have turned left. I moved when I should have stood still. But God is good, and He'll take my failures and turn them around for His glory. Oh, what an awesome God we serve here today. Now, real quickly here today, you're going to hear the second part of this message, Count It All Joy. We've just started the book of James at church. You're going to hear the second part of this sermon I just preached on Sunday. I invite you out to church. Not only that, I invite you out to church tonight. If you've tuned in at 5:30 tonight, you got 25 minutes to make it to church tonight. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We're in Luke. We're rolling out the blackboard, actually a giant dry erase board. Why don't you come by tonight at 6 o'clock? If you're unable to make it, you can watch us on the app, Island Community Church, FL, or the Facebook page. If you're a Facebook kind of person, Island Community Church, either one of those two feeds will kick off live at 6 o'clock here tonight, Wednesday night. Okay, let's get back into the Word. Again, you can contact me, Paul, at WGODradio.com, the website, islandcommunitychurch.net. Let's get into the Word now.
Now, to go a little further here in this chapter one, you know, there's a difference between helping someone who serves the Lord, who's maybe their car broke down and is dead, and you're going to go and you're going to help that person and buy them another car, and someone else who is in jail, and God's trying to do a work in them, and you're going to go and you're going to bail them out when they need to hit rock bottom so God can do a good work in them. There, you got to have the gift of discernment to know who to help and give every last bloody cent that you have, and who not to help. lift a finger? Did you leave them alone? Let God deal with them. You don't help them. You interfere in their life by helping them. And there's others, man, we need to roll out the red carpet to. Jesus said, go sell it all and give it away. And others, let God have his way with them. But if you keep interfering in their life, God's never going to be able to work. All right, let's go a little further here in this chapter. Boy, it's good to be back. Let's start this sermon this morning, huh? One thumbs up. My brethren, let's make sure I'm not forgetting anything here. Count it all joy when ye, now I'm in the King James, when ye fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith develops endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect and entire or complete, not lacking or not wanting anything. So again, once again, let patience or endurance have its perfect work. That is, don't interfere or prevent in any way God having his way, either with you or with someone else. I like word two where it says that perseverance, the NIV says, must finish its work. That is, you can't cut bait and run before it's done working in you. You have to wait on the Lord. Many times you read in the Bible, wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 27, Isaiah 40, those who wait, 40, verse 31, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. And in the due time, God's working on you behind the scenes. He's doing a work in you to make you like David and Paul and all of these other people. All these first century Christians who got fed to the lions. Do you have the hupomone that they had? Jesus said those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their lives will keep it. Is that where we're at today? Let's move on here. Next thing he's going to talk about is wisdom. Verse 5. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without finding fault, it says in the NIV, and it will be given to him. I like that, without finding fault. God gives wisdom without finding fault. Like our family members and our friends do. Right? They always find fault in it. Well, I'll do this, but there's always a but. There's always a but when you come to one of them, a family member or a friend. But, this is the last time, but, I'm tired of doing that. But. With God, there's no buts. He doesn't find fault in you. He knows who you are. He created you. He knows what you need. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all generously and without finding fault, and it will be given to him. God will not begrudgingly give you good things. He hands out wisdom like candy. You know, I pray this verse back to God, perhaps more than any other verse in the Bible. I encourage you to do that. Pray the word of God back to God when you pray. And in verse 6, he tells us how we should ask of God. It's verse 6. It says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. For he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Unstable like a volatile chemical, like nitroglycerin or uranium or hydrazine that they put in airplanes. What's James saying here? If you lack wisdom regarding a particular thing, ask God for wisdom and don't waver about it. Don't be double-minded. That is, don't believe one day and then doubt the next day. Church, we see from this comparison that God takes unbelief and doubt very serious. If you don't believe that God will impart wisdom to you when you need it most, if you don't believe that God will impart wisdom to you when you need it most, you are unstable. You need to take God at his word and believe what he says. Amen? Take God at his word and believe what he says. Here's a few examples. Remember, don't be unstable like nitroglycerin. The Bible says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Take God and believe him at his word. Now, when you pray and ask God for something, pray his word back to him. This prayer is originated right from the word of God. Perhaps your prayer would go something like, Lord, please don't give up on me now. Please continue working in me, making me holy, making me more and more like Jesus each and every day. So you pray it and you believe it and you don't doubt or waver or be double-minded about it. And don't look back like Lot's wife. Believe God at his word and keep on moving forward. When we ask, we must believe. Here's another example. If God be for you, who can be against you? Do you believe that? It is a guaranteed fact that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that God is for you. That's a fact. And no being in this universe can harm your soul. They might be able to kill your body. Jesus says maybe they can kill your body. Woe to him that can kill body and soul in hell, but he can't touch your soul. So your prayer is, Lord, according to your word, you are for me. Therefore, I will not doubt and I will not fear. What am I saying? I'm saying when you ask in faith for something, make sure you ask according to the word of God. Because when you ask in faith according to the word of God, I can absolutely guarantee you 100% of the time that your prayer will be answered in God's timing. That's his word. Pray his word back to him. Let God be true and every man a liar. A double-minded man is unstable. Okay. We've got one last theme here today. Do I have time? Verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures trials. See, the word temptation there. Okay, now here we have both Greek words here in action. The word perasmos, which means to test, and dokimos, which means to be approved. Like when they put silver and they burn all the dross, and they scoop off all the imperfections. What's left is silver. That's something that's been proved. It's been tested by the fire. And what's left, that's what this word dokimos means. Blessed is the man that endures testings. For when he has been dokimos, when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Sounds like the Beatitudes, doesn't it? Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who guts it out until the end. Because afterwards, the crown of life is heading your way. The Esposito paraphrase. As a Christian, you just never know. Times were a lot harder for these guys that James was writing to. But here for us, remember, perilous times will come, Paul said. John 12:25 said, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life will keep it. Let me move on here. Blessed is a man who endures trials, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Tried by who? God or Satan? Answer, yes. Turn with me, Genesis chapter 22. It says, now sometime later, God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. Or Abraham said, present. So then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Now, verse 9, skip down to verse 9. Now, when they had reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took a knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said to him, Abraham! And he said, present? He said, do not lay a hand on that boy. He said, do not do anything for him, anything to him. Look what it says. It says, for now I know. And that's what it means to be approved. He did what God said. He took the knife. He did everything God said. He's all ready to put his knife into his kid. And then, nope, don't you lay a hand on that boy. And then the text says, for now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Blessed is the man. And God said, if you remember, because you have done this, this is what I'm going to do for you. That's what it means to be approved by God. It means to believe God at his word and do what he says. And then God, sky's the limit for what he'll do in your life. Sky's the limit. Abraham believed God, and his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Tried by God, tried by Satan. Then again, we look on the other hand, and we got Luke chapter 22, 31, which says this. The Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. Actually, that Greek word, he means he is demanded. He is demanded. Satan was so convinced that he could make mincemeat out of Peter, he demanded the right to sift him. Satan has demanded for you so that he can sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brother. And isn't it funny how his faith really did fail, but ultimately it didn't? You see, the righteous man picks himself up 7 times. When it appears that you fail, get up, brush yourself off. Your life's not done yet. You press on. If you've stumbled, get up, brush yourself off. How does that go again, that verse? Godly sorrow brings about repentance, while worldly sorrow produces death, like Judas. I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And yet he puts his hand on a stack of Bibles and says, I've never heard of Jesus Christ. If that's not your faith failing, Darren, I don't know what else is. Don't try that at home, church. Don't try that at home. Tested by who? God or Satan? Jesus made this promise to the church at Smyrna. Do not fear those things you are about to suffer. Indeed. There's that word indeed again. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's that crown of life again. Same one James was talking about earlier. So either God or Satan can test you. Notice too in verse 12, it doesn't say, for if he's tried, he will receive the crown of life. It says when he's tried and when he passes the test, when you grab your own proverbial knife, when you follow through on what God has said to you. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and sacrifice your kid. I don't think he would do that anymore to anybody. When Satan tests you, it's designed to take you out. When God tests you, it's to show you who you are and what you are made of. Not to show him, because he already knows what you're made of. And this is why count it all joy is a good thing. Knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. We'll wrap it up here for this week. I leave you with this verse, John 12:25. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. Now, all depending on where you fall regarding that verse will determine the tests and trials that come your way. Me personally, I cannot be tempted by broccoli. You can dangle it before my eyes or my nose all day long, and you're not going to get anywhere with me. You can't tempt me with broccoli. Now, your life ought to be like broccoli. It should. Really quick, let me show you a life that has tasted this victory. Psalm 56:9. The psalm writer says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. Do you have that kind of faith? God will allow tests into your life until you are like this psalm writer. Okay? Catch the attitude. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Or this, Psalm 18:28. By you, David wrote, by you, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. By you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. Reminds me back of the days when I was a kid. I used to watch this guy on TV called the Galloping Gourmet. Ever heard of him? God wants you to have this kind of mindset and this kind of attitude. And this is why James said in our text today, to count it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith makes you like this Psalms author, David. And it makes you like Paul, who said, if God is for me, once Paul got the realization that God was on his side, he said, men and brethren, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? That attitude comes through abiding under the hand of God through trials in your life. And that is why the authors here in this New Testament told you to rejoice when it happens to you. Because God is at work behind the scenes. And to close off with his verse, what he said, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Brevard's home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
If you get the idea in your head that God is going to accept you on the basis of your performance, do you see what a trap that is? Think about it. If you get in your mind that God is going to accept you on the basis of your performance, your quiet time, your Bible study, do you see what a trap that is? Because you will never know if you've done enough. You'll never know if you've done enough. You will never, ever truly feel accepted. Perfectionism is a thief. It promises rewards, but it steals joy and it steals satisfaction. Why? Because perfection is an unattainable goal. Therefore, if you are a perfectionist, you have set an impossible goal for yourself, and therefore you will be constantly faced with frustration and failure.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Great is thy faithfulness, great.